Still crispy.
Still crispy.
Maybe not quite.
But we still are. There's at least no buzz or anything. Because we've had to fight the buzz sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, we did.
Fight the buzz.
Fight the buzz.
Me and a bunch of bees.
Yeah.
Fight the buzz. Welcome to TikTok Theology, a podcast that tackles the major trending topics on social media that concern the Christian faith. I'm Megan.
And I'm Steven. We are back with part two of the Republican Christian versus Democrat Christian debate. And part one went really good.
Yes, it did.
I was super proud of how that came out. Super proud of being friends with Josh and Will. And just,
yeah, super thankful for them.
Yeah, those are awesome dudes. And so, yeah, it was awesome. So we're going to pick up here and we're going to ask a couple of more questions and then see how if they can construct a vision for the future of our country from a Republican Christian perspective and a Democrat Christian perspective. Like, and how are they different?
Yeah.
So that's going to be pretty interesting.
I love it.
Yeah. So let's just, I think let's just jump right back into it.
Let's listen in.
Let's go.
All right. So this is kind of our, like, our moment here, our moment here of why we are having these conversations, and we will have them on multiple topics. And I think this is going to set a really excellent precedent, especially with people as lovely as the two of you. But what do you think are the main problems of the opposite party?
Oh, snap. They're about to
fight. So whoever feels so led.
Go ahead, Will. You want
to
go?
To throw the gloves down first.
Yeah, so I'll start because I've got a lot to say, but you know, I'll say it with grace and dignity. And try not to make somebody feel bad. But so one of my major critiques, and it's almost like, what's the word I'm looking for? Central to our podcast. It's the fact that the Republicans feel like they have a monopoly on the Christian faith. Mm. I wrote a blog recently that really kind of addresses this, and I have to kind of set up the context of the blog, because if you read it kind of without any context, it may be a little confusing. But I wrote a blog from the viewpoint of a HR person who works for this organization called Christianity Inc. And they are writing a denial letter to a person who applied for membership. And the reasons that they denied their membership was because of a lot of the things we already said. You know, this fake applicant was transgender. They were a Democrat, and they, you know, just didn't idolize, deify Trump to the degree that we see in public. Regardless of the fact that this made up applicant professes Jesus, volunteers at the local food bank, you know, and just lives a life that is representative of who Jesus was. And even though it was a bit of a parody, very sarcastic, I think it really kind of gets to the heart of how a lot of Republicans view who is in the in-group and who is in the out-group. And they use Christianity as sort of like the vehicle by which they keep people outside of the in-group. Mm-hmm. And this has been something that we've seen for, gosh, I mean, 50 years probably. I'd say probably like in the 70s when not only did the political realignment take place, but also there is a shift in how Republicans wanted to mobilize voters. I mean, we all think that, you know, the number one issue for most Republicans that really kind of spurred the moral majority, the religious right, you know, is abortion, but that's not the case, right? Like, so the real reason is because of racism. I mean, after Brown v. Board Education and the integration, there were a lot of folks, Jerry Falwell, Bob Jones, and other, Paul Weyrich, who made a point to maintain their white only colleges. And as a result of that, they, you know, started, this is kind of where we get a lot of the school choice and vouchers and stuff from, because people wanted to keep their white kids going to their white schools. They didn't want to integrate. So this was the main issue that mobilized a lot of Republicans. Falwell didn't preach actually a message about abortion like 5 years after Roe was passed. So it was never about abortion. It was always about racism. And Republicans have kind of just perpetuated this over the years, where they try to exclude certain people that don't meet their standards. President Carter, this happened to quite a bit, where President Carter, man of faith, even he had opposition to abortion, but it was the law of the land, and he had a responsibility to, you know, to adhere to it. So Falwell, Billy Graham, some others used to make fun of President Carter because he was a Democrat and he was a Christian. They essentially kind of labeled him as, you know, I forgot what the term was, but in essence, because he wasn't a Republican Christian, he wasn't necessarily a Christian. And this has gone on for years. I mean, like, as a Democrat myself, I've had my faith questioned because they're like, how can you be a Democrat and love Jesus? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, how can you be a Republican, you know, like, and love Jesus? This is nothing new. And I don't think that Christians are better for it by gatekeeping people that Jesus would have easily had dinner with. So there you go. That's why your party sucks, Josh.
One thing too is I might even say, you know, the party does that, and we know that, but like, and we talked about this a ton when I was on your podcast, but that should never be a Christian's perspective on anything. Like when you add an adjective in front of Christian, and that's already the problem. You're already doing some form of syncretism. You're already like sharing the throne in some way. And so, I think that's a really pertinent thing, that gatekeeping. Just a follow up before we go into that, because so you've been saying, and you did say, like, you have a theme, the big tentness of the Democratic Party you see as a definite positive, correct? And so, so that's that might lead in towards a pluralism. So, like, you like, this is speaking towards, like, we're in a pluralistic society. And we should be able to represent all sorts of people and not coerce people into a particular vision of the world or reality. And I think the Republican side would say that a good society needs to have a better sense of identity. And so, like, a communal identity. And Republicans are attempting to offer the communal identity, but as that gets explicated in a pluralistic society, it might look like coercion, but they are trying to recapture or reorient towards what an American is. And the left seems to say, but what an American is a melting pot. And so do you think I'm off base on that? On those distinctions, or what do you think of that, Will?
Yeah, I think you're on point to a degree. I don't disagree about having kind of like some shared characteristics that can help define who you are as an organization or a group. I think that's fine. I think it's it's like if you've ever baked anything, right? So you take like a little measuring cup and you put in the sugar or the flour or whatever. And I remember this from home ec. You're supposed to, like, you take a big thing and you take a knife and you like swipe it so that way, like, it's completely even, and then like that's the amount that you get, right? So the question is, what do you do with that excess? Does that go in the garbage, or does that go back into like whatever bag or container that you had it in? I think what the Republicans' problem is that they threw that in the garbage. You're either in with us 100%. You like Trump, vote for Trump. bought the $1,000 Trump signed Bible, attended all the rallies, seen
it. Was it $1,000?
There is one, yeah, for $1,000, yeah. Man,
okay.
That has a signature in it. And, you know, like you have
it's to not an auto pen signature, Will. It's a real signature.
That's true. Oh, touche. So it's like, you know, with a lot of the Republican Party trying to, you know, define who they are, you have to check all these boxes or you're out. I mean, like, I'm sure Josh can tell you, like, we've spoken to people on the far right who Josh would say, I didn't vote for Trump. And like, you would think that they were like about to excommunicate him from Christianity totally or something. You know, I don't know how to do that. But it's like people expect for me not to vote for Trump because I'm a Democrat, you know, but like for a Republican, you're like, I didn't vote for Trump. Like, oh,
yeah.
Gosh, you know, like, how can you call yourself a pastor? So yeah, that's what I got to say about that.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, so thinking about the other party, you know, it kind of was, you know, implied in my answers previously, you know, so I don't think this will surprise too many people. But I think one of my major concerns is that the Democratic Party and platform tends to frame opposition to LGBTQIA plus policies like gender affirming care for minors, same sex marriage, trans inclusion in sports, all I know very contentious, very complex issues, but they tend to frame it as bigotry and not as a complex issue, not as hey, you know, this is something we should take some time to think about, figure out, work through, wonder about. It tends to be, hey, if you don't, and I've seen this, and again, this is individuals, but essentially after this election would see things like people I know that would say something along the lines of, yeah, you know, if you are, you know, we can disagree and still be friends, doesn't count for racism, homophobia, transphobia, and then like a number of things. And so, you know, that seems to me a pretty significant simplification of why someone might vote for Trump and even why someone might be concerned about the proliferation of, especially with like trans issues, but the entire LGBTQIA kind of the rights space and how that is implemented and enforced. And I think the idea, like the idea that it's rooted in historic Christian teaching and a belief in this belief in God, like that's bigotry. That's what it seems like. That's what's communicated or what's thought of. Like that's automatically transphobia. When maybe for me, I don't really necessarily consider myself transphobic. I'm trying to figure out. I think I know what the Bible says about gender. They didn't have to deal necessarily right with what we did, although there was some indication of transvestism, at least in certain laws in the Old Testament, and then of course homosexual actions and practice. But you know, so they didn't deal with those at the same level that we're dealing with it. And so like there's room to wonder about this, in my opinion. Some people already would say I'm not a Republican just because I said that. But I think that like these are complex issues at a minimum, and just writing off people because they have a faith-based view seems to me a kind of hypocritical, number one, because they're bringing that on deeply held beliefs about reality and identity and all of that. So I don't quite know what the difference is. So those things get traditional beliefs, traditional, right? Beliefs coming from the scriptures that have been traditional, have been taught in the church, and people have a lot of good, you know, reasons and arguments for. They're portrayed as harmful, backward, you know, wrong, all those kinds of things. And wrong isn't as bad as like harmful, backward, shouldn't be included in the public discourse. That kind of idea. I just think that creates an environment where disagreement is essentially equated with hate. And and I think we're seeing that now, right? Well, on both sides, and it's terrible because it doesn't do anything to actually move the conversation forward. I mean, I think that's
just real fast. Is Josh able to do two of them? Because I think I only did one. I just want to make sure that you know we're balancing this out. Josh isn't saying two or three things about the Democrat Party.
Is it just one thing that we said? Yeah, then that would be it then. If I'm looking at that one.
Okay, let me ask. So I took some notes here, just trying to see if we can get to the heart of some of the issues. And I think I saw two things popping up. And I would like, this is how I would like to categorize them. And then I would like to be either reproved by you or either tell me it's right or wrong. Are you jiving or not? Okay. So two things that I saw is that both see the other side as causing a reductionism and both have a different vision of identity. And so here are, this is what I see. So the identity piece is the right sees that we need to have a more solidified identity, and it should be brought to us by Judeo-Christian values because that is the majority of the country and that is the majority of this foundation. And so it makes more sense for it to follow along these things. And that seems to generally be the zeitgeist in America. The left would say, we're actually a pluralist melting pot. That's the real zeitgeist. They might have been a lot of Christians and a deist that's founded the nation, but that's who was available at that moment in the actual travels. Christianity is an important part to this kind of pluralistic dialogue, but it isn't the only part. And so we need to be able to live together in a big tent as a melting pot. Does that sound right as two visions of identity? For you guys?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And that's important for people to see the difference there. Mm-hmm. And then the other part of reductionism, where the other side will say something different. So, okay, the Democrats would view the Republicans as being exclusionary, excluding those that are outside of the narrow framework of what they think is important for the identity. And this is anathema to Democrats because they have a different vision for identity. So that's the problem. And then the Republicans would say that the Democrats, what they do is also reduction. And what they do is that they basically are calling out Republicans for being bigots, for holding on to values that are perfectly legitimate. And so, and then Josh is talking about in different ways. I think some of it is like protection of innocence, of children, both in the sense of abortion, both in transgender and LGBTQ kind of like matters and stuff like that. There's a protection of innocence, whereas a pluralistic outlook would not want to protect children, but they would just have a different view of what protection of children is. Would you guys agree with that?
Yeah, I think I would, at least from what I heard.
Yeah, I would agree, but I would caveat it by saying I don't agree that that's the root of the abortion debate. I believe that the root of the abortion debate is a misunderstanding or a lack of knowledge about when life begins.
Yeah.
I think that's the real debate, not necessarily abortion.
That's absolutely true. We had a podcast on that. Yeah. And that is the heart of the difference is, when life starts and what that actually entails. Absolutely. So, great. So, you know, not that we solved anything at all, but I think it's important to like hear thoughtful respondents about all of this stuff and to see like where does the actual issues lie. Because if we take away all this like nonsense, the media nonsense and just the like it's like the leaves and the branches, you know what I'm saying? Like all that kind of junk, then we can see like what is the root issue? Because there is a difference. Mm-hmm. there's a lot more things in common than there are difference, but there is a difference. And so I think understanding the difference, then you can be like, okay, we have a different vision for identity and for how one side is reducing the other. Let's acknowledge that, call it, name it, and then we can see where conversation can go after that. So really this whole season is about that, is about like naming those differences and seeing that and seeing how we can have cordial discourse and in this sense of public discourse.
I also think it's super interesting that like at the end of the day, we're reducing Christianity in a lot of ways when we try and squish it into a political space. And what I'm hoping will come up over the course of all of these different episodes is like, you can be a Republican and hold really highly to "you knit me together in my mother's womb," and you can hold really tightly to those kinds of different things. But you can also be a Democrat and say, treat the sojourner as my own, as your own, and treat and bring them in as if they are your own, and all the things that the Bible has to say about what we would argue is immigration, and all these things that you can argue about versus about abortion. So I think it's very clear that when you're actually in scripture, you can apply a lot to both.
Yes.
And why it's really important to have conversations, because we cannot assign, it's why we have a lot of theological different views, that because the Bible says a lot of things about a lot of stuff that we all interpret kind of sometimes very differently. And so I think it is really important, and why these this conversation especially is really enlightening, because there is a way to kind of assign scripture to all to various different topics and stances in both political parties, and how Christians can exist in both political parties and in outside political parties, independents or libertarians or Green Party, and why there's a real danger to assigning the heart of God to any man-made and binary of political viewpoint.
That's good. Yeah.
And a preach.
Not just can they, but they do. They already exist. So we need to kind of like see that and call that out. You're like there's a lot of good Christian brothers and sisters in every single affiliation.
Yes.
So the last thing I would want to say or ask you guys, and I guess this conversation has been going very like fruitfully. And so just as like a, I guess like a cap, like to cap it off and just like a final statement or something. What do you think is your vision for the future of our country, and like kind of as it aligns to your party, like what would be the ideal of your party's vision for the future? And then you as a Christian, like how does the church help this vision come about? Like, does it partner with that party in that vision? And it's a somewhat of a complex question, but however you guys interpret that and answer that, I think will be great. So let's Will, if you wouldn't mind answering that one first.
Yeah, well, number one, I really want to thank you all for having us on your podcast. This has been great.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I mean, going back to my earlier point, I think one of the things my party does really well is celebrate diversity. I would really love to kind of see that expanded. And I'd also like to see the new things that they are highlighting that are diverse don't automatically become sort of a tool of the left. Meaning, you know, if there's some sort of, you know, marginalized group that the Democrats want to sort of like highlight, spotlight, you know, I don't want for that group to all of a sudden, you know, be connected with the Democrat Party, because I think that's kind of what gets us into all of this. Mm-hmm. I really think that the church has a part to play here. You know, I will be the first one to say, you know, people of faith should not stay away from politics. I mean, stay away from it if you don't like it, you know, or you're not interested in, but just, you know, do so at your own peril, because, you know, there are people out there that are invested in politics and would be making decisions on your behalf if you don't get involved. So I think all church people would do well to educate themselves, to turn off cable news. I haven't watched cable news in I don't know how many years. But I read all of my news, and I think that because of that, it allows me to slow down to think about what is the implication or the meaning of the thing that I'm reading much more critically than if I were to just watch, you know, two people of different political parties argue about an issue on CNN or Fox or whatever the case may be, you know?
Yeah.
I read the news kind of at the same pace or rhythm that I read my Bible. Although, truth be told, I read news more than I read my Bible. But I think that if the church would start, you know, emphasizing who we are and what our jobs are in the kingdom, and that's not to vote for Republicans or to, you know, like protest Planned Parenthood or whatever the case may be. It's to just love on people, show them grace, mm-hmm. You know, just be the Jesus that they need to see in you. Because I think that's what we're really, really missing here. You know, like Josh and I have had lots of conversations about kind of the state of Christianity in the country today. And, you know, there's a lot of really great organizations that do a lot of polling, you know, the PRI, and Ryan Burge has a great Substack where he does a lot of data analysis. I'd love to see a data analysis of, you know, what are the most commonly preached Bible verses? Because I think that would be telling of kind of like what we're seeing today. You know, like our pastors, you know, teaching the Sermon on the Mount, if that's the number one like sermon preached in the country in a given time frame, you would expect to see fruits of that, right? You'd expect to see changed lives, hearts, you know, revivals even. But we're just not really seeing that. Instead, we're kind of getting this image of a Christian that likes to gatekeep, that likes to keep people from salvation instead of inviting mm-hmm. them in the church. We're finding ways to keep them out of the church. And I think that the you know, the Christian church has a big part to play here.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, that is good. I appreciate hearing that. You know, and I think that my vision probably has, you know, and has a lot of overlap with Will's, and that doesn't surprise me. You know, I think at our core, we both want, you know, people to be cared for. We want people to experience the freedom that Jesus can bring, the purpose, the salvation that Jesus offers. And we have a lot of differing viewpoints on specific policy issues, but at the core, it's about how do we honor God in a way and honor Jesus in a way that is light in a place of darkness. And so, I mean, I would love a nation where the image of God is seen and honored in every person. You know, I think that's really important, that people are seen as people, as humans. Yeah. You know, not to say that, you know, and there's a lot of caveats in that, right? Because that doesn't mean that everything someone does is acceptable. I don't think anyone thinks that, right? Or thinks there aren't certain policies or rules or whatever for living on both sides. So those kinds of specifics need to be argued. But And I really do think we have to bring back real argumentation in the church and in politics, where it's when, you know, right now it's a lot of, it really is just a lot of talking points and not addressing anything, and grandstanding and, you know, virtue signaling. I'm going to say this out loud. Maybe it has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but I'm going to stand up. Like, there's just, that's all it is. And when it doesn't feel like there's a lot of like, hey, why do you think that? What are your reasons? Where are you getting the evidence for that? How are you connecting that evidence, those reasons, to this conclusion? Like, there's a lot of work that's been done on this, and people don't even know how to even start with how to make an argument.
Yeah.
And I think we have to bring that back, because arguments start with agreement, actually, and agreement about certain things. We have to bring that. We have to bring that back, in my opinion. And and having like a real value of truth, not just like a talking point, not propaganda, but trying to really bring that up again. and really backing things up. It's just we're atrocious, it seems to me, in our political debate about really giving any real reasons and backing things up with any documentation, evidence. Maybe that happens on the smaller levels, but not on the major platforms and news. Yeah. And then, you know, people get 5 minutes to, you know, basically yell back and forth with someone else on a, and that's what most people see. And yep. So that I really want to see an America that has much more really robust debate, dialogue, which starts with understanding and goes then that it's okay to want to convince someone else that they're
yeah.
wrong
yeah.
and that yeah, you're right, but mm-hmm. also being open to that too. It's like we've gotten, I think, kind of weak in that.
Totally. Weak. Yeah.
And so yeah. I would like to see that. And I would like to see the church model sacrificial love and kingdom value and really get candidates and get politics. Not specific issues. I think we need to preach on all the major issues. They have underlying principles that any pastor can preach on and talk about and wonder and yeah. think about. But the partisanship that we see is absolutely destroying the church, in my opinion. And it's taken people way away from Jesus.
Yeah.
And our obsession with power in the church is, I don't think it, again, bodes well for us. And yeah, I just hope that we're there. We're loving, we're truthful, generous, just, and that we are actually a model, start becoming a model instead of like the exact opposite of what it means to be unified in diversity, that we actually become a model in it.
That's
I hope great. That we can do that.
You know, as you guys are talking, I think your two visions for America and for the future of our country and how the church will come about, they're not too far apart. And I think there's a lot of agreement between the two. And so that means we have, you two have similar telos in mind. And that's such an important starting point. Instead of starting at the issue, but starting at the end goal, then saying like, hey, what are the paths to get there? And I think that's one way to have what you're talking about, Will, is this, Josh, this public discourse. If we can actually start at here's the end, what we want, let's discuss and have a robust conversation of how we can get there. Yeah, that's so good. Thank you guys so much. You guys are setting a precedent for how we would want this season to go. And I think your podcast does that anyways. So so as we already talked about in the intro, just be sure to check these guys out. It's a podcast that I really love. I was super proud to be on it. And if you like that robust dialogue, that's what they be doing like all the time, all the time.
Yeah. Well, our podcast, it's like we bring on guests that generally one of us like absolutely disagrees with, like on a weekly basis. And when guests come on our show and they're like, well, you know, tell me about your audience. I was like, I'll be honest. I don't really know much about our audience. Cause like, you know, we've had, you know, Lucian Greaves, who's the co-founder of the Satanic Temple on, you know, we've had some super MAGA people far, far right. And then we had super lefties, like far, far left. And what we can promise that you will hear or see if you watch us on YouTube is that we'll interact with these people and view them just like Jesus would. We'll treat them with respect. Where we disagree, we will tactfully, disagree if the opportunity arises. And where we mm-hmm. agree, we will celebrate that. And so, you know, we've had all kinds of people on the show, and we hope to keep on doing this for several years because we are committed. We are committed to, you know, trying to bring Christ into the world in whatever form or fashion that is. And, you know, podcast just happens to be the current medium we're using.
That's awesome. Yeah, so good. Well, anyways, we loved having you guys on. Thank you so much for gracing us with your presence and your wisdom and this dialogue. We'll see you guys next time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's so refreshing, I think, in these days especially, mm-hmm. to hear friends like Josh and Will
yeah.
be open and willing to have conversations about this kind of stuff, because obviously they were incredible the last episode, but they got to focus now on what's the problem of the opposite, because obviously we all think that the opposite has problems, mm-hmm. but then how can we pursue the betterment of, first of all, in our context, the U.S. and mm-hmm. the politics that affect Americans, mm-hmm. but also how do we as Christians engage in a world proper mm-hmm. while also caring about where we are and where we're from, and how to, we've all been the opportunity to be born here or moved here or immigrated here, mm-hmm. and we are responsible for stewarding the countries that we come from, stewarding the land that we live in, and all of that. And so I think that they make really good points about mm-hmm. how from each side, we can take both sides and pursue this bettering of our country.
We all should definitely have the goal of having a better society together.
Yes.
So regardless of what side we're on. So I'm just glad that they were willing to come on and they weren't joshing around.
They're going to love that when they hear it.
Oh, man. All right. I'm sure they've heard that before. Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe not. Maybe not. I just came up with
it. Maybe you invented that.
Yeah.
Ooh.
All right. So one thing I was thinking about as we were listening to it and talking, and I've been writing a little bit about this too recently.
Yeah.
Is the point of identity formation.
Right.
And how politics can actually play a really crucial role in malforming us.
Yeah.
Forming our identity in a very negative way. So mal is like the bad, like a negative way, right? Like
not good even.
Yeah, not good. And so I think the tribalism has mm-hmm. a big part of it. So in my view, people are tribal by nature, like we said.
Yeah.
And so what we need to do is not think, oh, let's just not be tribal. Let's just be individuals and not be part of a tribe. I think that's impossible.
100%.
So I think the real thing to do is how to get into the right tribe or have it correct. And God's tribe is the right tribe, right?
Love it. That's not up for debate, team.
No.
Not be debating anybody on that.
But think about this theologically too. God is the creator. Mm-hmm. Basic theological claim.
Yeah.
Right? We are made in God's image. We are the beloved that God would even come to earth and die for us and to redeem us.
Yep.
He is the only one who can legitimately form us and make our identity and call us and claim us and name us. Like, he's the only one who can legitimately do that.
Yeah.
No one else ever has the right. This is just like part of his creation, other part of his creation, trying to claim each other, trying to name each other, trying to label each other, trying to do all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
They don't have the right.
No.
God is the only one that ever has that right. So when it comes to identity formation, God must be the only one who fundamentally shapes our identity.
Yeah.
Now, I'm saying fundamentally because we are going to be formed wherever we are.
Right.
We're formed by virtue of being American. We're formed by where we live, by our communities and stuff like that. A lot of things are forming us.
Yeah.
But what is the foundational core of our forming?
Mm-hmm.
That's the real issue, right? Yeah. So like identity politics from both sides try to form us in a way that I think attempts to be foundational instead of God.
Yeah.
So like on the left, they have identity politics of based on race and gender and sexuality. Those are different identity policies. They have their own causes, their own movements and stuff like that, which the movements themselves may have like really, really important merit. So mm-hmm. I'm not saying that like the movement is bad altogether or whatever, but having that as the first and foundational identity before God,
mm-hmm.
that's when you started making your race, gender, sexuality your idol.
Yeah.
It is that way.
Yeah.
It's not just the left though. The right also does identity politics in the white nationalism or Christian nationalism or anything like that.
Yeah.
When something else is forming your identity, when you have movements and stuff based on that, and that becomes foundational. Mm-hmm. They're both creeping up on the throne and they're both trying to be like, hey, Jesus, we're going to co-lord. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Co-lord, yeah.
Yeah, that's not good.
No.
No.
No, it's bad.
So your parents are co-lords.
Yeah. You're the co-host of a lord, so you're the co-lord.
I'm co-host to a lord, yeah. That's true. That's great.
Yeah, that never gets old. Yeah.
But I think the point of identity formation is just this. Is the Democratic Party or the Republican Party, these tribes, mm-hmm. the left tribe or the right tribe, are they forming your identity in a way that is foundational?
Yeah.
And if it is, that's wrong. Because I can see that for Will and Josh, as important as politics is for them, it is not foundationally for them, because they are first and foremost Christians.
Yeah.
They're first and foremost beloved children of God.
Yeah.
You know, we have names that we claim and that we that people try to put on us. You're this, you're that, you're that. The name that God has put on us, and whatever it sounds like, mm-hmm. your name sounds like Megan, but it means beloved child of God.
Yeah.
Mine sounds like Stephen, yeah. but it means beloved child of God.
100%.
And so that's something that's really significant,
yeah.
right? Jesus is our Savior and our Redeemer mm-hmm. and needs to be the foundational piece to any kind of identity formation
yeah.
that we ever have. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the crucial problem for the church.
I would agree.
You're letting other junk form you
yeah.
in a way that's foundational.
Yeah.
Label you, identify you, and then enlist you into a culture war,
yeah.
equip you with weapons to fight against the other side,
yeah.
with slurs, with name calling, all sorts of junk like that. Mm-hmm. And then we've missed the boat. We've completely forgotten what it is to be a witness of Jesus Christ in this world.
Yeah, I would agree. And even I think not only has it malformed our identity of how we view ourselves, mm-hmm. it's also really malformed how we view each other.
Yeah.
Like it has really just destroyed our ability to see each other as people made in God's image.
Yeah.
We have completely negated the love one another part of this whole thing. We have completely negated that. Mm-hmm. And I think that when ultimately we let our identities be malformed by things, we then miss the ability and malform our relationships
yeah.
with God and with each other. And I think that when we are not viewing politics from the lens of not even just like whose side is God on, because I don't think that's the point. Mm-hmm. If we're not viewing politics as how do we serve each person through the lens, like how are we, because our politics are never just about us. Like what?
It's a polis.
Yeah. Like how are we meeting, like when we're voting, when's the last time we all went to the polls and not we're thinking, how does this affect us? Mm-hmm. It's like, how does this affect our fellow people, right. our fellow Americans, our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Like, yeah. when's the last time that we voted from that perspective? Mm-hmm. Not just how this is going to benefit me, my money, my family. Like, mm-hmm. how is this going to benefit the communities that we're a part of?
That's good.
The Christians that we know and love, mm-hmm. the people that we know are in poverty, the people that we know are disenfranchised. Like, how, like, if we're not seeing ourselves correctly, we're never going to see each other correctly. Mm-hmm. And all things have to point to
yeah.
God, to the kingdom. And that's, I think, when we're actually going to, instead of trying to find a way to squish scripture and make God take a political side, mm-hmm. we'll be able to see the policies and pray through them and say, okay, how is this, like, what is God's heart for his people through these individual policies?
Yeah, it's good. I like it.
I like it.
It's kind of mic droppy. We can't really drop these guys, but
I know they're a little bit stationary, yeah. but just know that I'm dropping a mic somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was good. So I think that's a great place to stop.
Yeah.
And listen, it is not going to get undivisive all of a sudden.
No.
So we need to be the ones who are going to make it undivisive
yeah.
for us and for our communities.
Yeah.
Like if we can do that, maybe the church can be the city on a hill.
Yeah.
Because America ain't that.
No.
The Bible never even says it was. that's
sorry,
not,
team.
That's not a nation.
No.
That is not a nation.
No.
That was supposed to be Israel and then it's the church.
Mm-hmm.
So let's be that.
Yeah. Hi, friends. Thank you for listening. If you like this episode, please go ahead and like, subscribe, share the podcast wherever you get it on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and spread the word about TikTok Theology.
The best way you can help us is actually by sharing the episode. If you liked it and you know someone that would benefit from it, please share it with them. Our heart is to help people navigate these difficult issues in these really hard times. We'll see you next time.
See ya.